And we're back. The Taylor Report, by the way, remember, you can write to us. I'm proud to say now, it took me a while to get this, the Taylor Report at CIT.fm. And we are SoundCloud, Taylor-Report, and Facebook, The Taylor Report. And now we have, I'll just say again, at 24 Main Street in Hamilton at 7 p.m., Dan Kovalek is going to be talking.
That's a New Vision United Church, Main Street West. 24 Main Street West.
Main Street West, yes. Hamilton is a city of one-way streets, so
you
got to be going on the right Main Street,
right,
or you
right.
could end up in the lake, I think. Yeah. I forget how it worked. That was a timely report, in my opinion. The people of Haiti have a history of taking matters into their own hands.
Yes.
I didn't want to take him too far into history, but remember, that was the first remarkable slave revolution where slaves freed themselves and created a republic. And they were they provided material assistance to Bolivar.
And
not to be forgotten.
They scared the bejeebers out of the U.S. government in the early 1800s when Thomas Jefferson was the president because they were looking.
Well, it made him nervous.
Yes.
And the British.
Yeah.
That's a long story. The British, too. People forget Jamaica at that time had 500,000 slaves, and they were very nervous. The Brits perspired as much as the Americans perspired. But by the way, the Hegel, who looms large in history because he wrote about it, but he was very moved by the slave rebellion of Haiti because he saw it as an instance of people freeing themselves, and not only they didn't reestablish a type of social order or economy. Instead, they actually created a new order and liberated themselves. He really pondered about that, thinking highly important. So we are being told we're going to be talking, we hope, with someone from Unifor about, of all things, Sting and the Last Ship. And just to remind you, you can write to us, The Taylor Report. I sound like I'm needy, but now that we have the letter address, I'm all anxious to get into the correspondence business. And I guess the headlines, Trump was going to talk today about the Venezuela matter. Are you aware, Phil?
He was going to. I haven't heard any words of wisdom from on high. Yeah. My guess is the Democrats will not attack it.
No, they're going to be aboard, actually. This is, I think Dan Kovalek made that point well, and when going after Trump, people have to remember it. No, it's not an aberration. Please, just don't do that. This has been the story from going all the way back. Although there is a glimmer, I would have raised that with Dan, but it was kind of a curveball to toss to a guy. But we do have some remarkable people now in Congress. And this woman, Ms. Omar from Minnesota.
Downtown Minneapolis. Yes.
If you haven't seen it, you just Google her on YouTube, I guess it is, questioning Mr. Abrams. Is it Elliot Abrams?
Yeah, that was, I think, Ocasio questioning him.
No.
No?
Ms. Omar. Okay. I don't think.
Then I think they both did,
No. This is Elliot Abrams questioned by Omar. Yeah. And it is a study in how to go about it. She is the congresswoman, and she's hit some heavy weather because she's a very honest person. But her questioning of Abrams, where she underlined the fact that he had been involved in criminal activity, and of course imperial activity against Nicaragua. He was appointed. He was a Reagan guy. a real bully, by the way, and he tries to play the bully with her. So it's interesting to watch a woman. I'd estimate her. She's a slender woman. I would put her at about 110 pounds and in hijab, United States Congresswoman, doing her job, putting the questions to him, not being at all, you know, engaged with him as he tried to play the big shot, but just holding him to respond to a congresswoman, because that's her job, and she and he's supposed to answer. And he tried a little filibuster trick. It didn't work. And I really would recommend it. Go to that, Omar and Elliot Abrams. He goes way back. He's a nasty piece of work.
He was the Iran-Contra affair, right?
Iran-Contra.
He ran guns to these death squads in Central America.
And it also involved drugs. Yeah. It's a horrible example of it. I think it's considered now basic wisdom that, you know, there is a term, the end justifies the means. And if, now you want to remember, Elliot Abrams' ends are U.S. hegemony. He doesn't spell that out. He says, I'm for democracy. No. It is actually never been any instance of it. His idea of democracy is a U.S.-appointed lackey. By the way, in our foreign minister, he may have one. Because, you know, here you are, everybody ignoring the U.N. Charter, everybody ignoring the Organization of American States. Canada helped, and they're doing it in tag team with the United States of creating a faction, the so-called Lima Group. That's a faction inside the Organization of American States. The Organization of American States has not said changed its position on who is the president of Venezuela. The president of Venezuela is Mr. Maduro, and that is what the Organization of American American States acknowledges. So Canada created a faction to put in the front of the OAS to sort of pretend OAS, Organization of American States. It's not that at all. This is a highly destructive step taken by Canada. And the ignoring of the UN Charter, and the UN recognizes Maduro. So where does Canada get off under international law saying it and the United States can appoint who is the president of Venezuela? This is an outrage. There should be people in the streets here. Canada is being disgraced by the conduct of the foreign minister, just as America is being disgraced by the conduct of Elliot Abrams and Donald Trump.